In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, we always begin our prayer with that act of faith. I firmly believe that you are here. And we can ask ourselves, do I really believe this? God is with me. Lord, you said it to the apostles when you sent them out. Behold, I am with you all through the days that are coming until the end of the world. And we can apply those words personally to each one of us. And you are saying, I am with you. Yes, you, my beloved brother, sister, daughter, son, friend. I am with you all through the days that are coming until the end of the world. Because it can happen that sometimes we wonder where you are. We go through the ups and downs, the turbulence of life, and it will have those ups and downs. And in those difficult times, we turn to you and we pray today about this great virtue of hope. And we need it, because there are so many aspects of our life in which we are not in control. But Lord, you are always in control. But we can wonder, can you help me? Is there any solution to this? And we look at those various situations in which we really wonder at times. Our health. We look after our health, and I hope we do. We take whatever medications have been prescribed. We eat a proper diet. We get the proper exercise. But we can't control whether we get cancer, whether we have an aneurysm that we didn't know about and suddenly it bursts, whether our heart is not well and we have a heart attack or we have a stroke. We are not completely in control, but we do what we can humanly, and we put our hope in you. The matter of our job. Today we have a job. But how many people today, this very day, lost their jobs unexpectedly? This happens. Or we are out of work. And we have been out of work for some time, and we have looked but not found anything. And we put our hope in you. Lord, you can answer our prayers, but you want us to persevere too, and it may be another week, it may be another month. We hope it won't be another year, but we can only put our hope in you. Relationships. Today our marriage is going well, but how many marriages that appeared to be going well suddenly come upon hard times, and one of the spouses says that he or she is leaving, that this marriage is finished, and for the other spouse, it's not finished. Where are you coming from? But these things happen too. And when marriages are going with difficulty, or when they have broken up, again, Lord, we come to you. We put our hope in you. And we have so many relatives, our own children, cousins, aunts and uncles, parents, who are not practicing their faith. It is very distressing for parents, for example, when they see their children in their 20s, or perhaps even earlier, stop going to Mass, say they don't believe in God, haven't been to confession for years. But what can parents do? They can't force their children. They pray for them, and they hope that God can bring them back. Or the children are not only not practicing their faith, they're living with their boyfriend or girlfriend. Or they have declared that they are now gay or lesbian. And it's heartbreak for the parents. And this happens. And again, the parents can't force anything. They show their children that they still love them because, Lord, you love them and you have a place for them in heaven. And parents then put their hope in you and they pray with that trust. So many aspects of life, and there are so many more, where we don't know where to turn humanly, and we turn to you. And you are our hope, because you are God, and you are with us. You love us. You came to earth to die on the cross to redeem us. You truly love everyone, and you are almighty. And you are our hope. The Catechism of the Catholic Church speaks of hope in beautiful terms. The virtue of hope responds to the aspiration to happiness which God has placed in the heart of every man. It takes up the hopes that inspire men's activities and purifies them so as to order them to the kingdom of heaven. All of these hopes that we have, Lord, we order them to the kingdom of heaven, that maybe our particular problem will not get solved in this life, but after this life comes eternity with you. And the ultimate object of our hope is eternity with you in heaven. The Catechism goes on. It keeps man from discouragement. Because we can become discouraged. We can think there's no solution, and there's always a solution. Because, Lord, you are the solution, and you are with us. And help us to have hope so we don't become discouraged or much less despair. And people do despair. They don't see any light on the horizon, and they haven't seen a light for a long time. And they are suffering. And let us help them too, to trust, Lord, in you, to have hope. The Catechism goes on. It sustains him during times of abandonment. And Lord, we know you never abandon us, but we can feel abandoned, as you felt abandoned on the cross. My God, why have you abandoned me? And you are simply quoting Psalm 21, which goes on to speak of God never abandoning his children, always being there for them. And you knew that the Father hadn't abandoned you. You and the Father were one and always together. But we at times can feel abandoned. God is not answering my prayers. I don't know where God is in all of this. And Lord, then, if we are that low, help us to trust in you, to put our hope in you. And again, we go on with the Catechism. It opens up his heart in expectation of eternal beatitude. And again, we can say, yes, maybe my particular problem won't get solved now. But in the end, there is eternal beatitude, and that is the ultimate object of our hope. And the Catechism continues, buoyed up by hope, he is preserved from selfishness and led to the happiness that flows from charity, the happiness that knows that we are children of God, and God loves us, and God is almighty and all merciful. And Lord, nothing is impossible for you. Help us to put our trust in you. And I think of that story of the ship tossed by the violent waves and winds at sea, and a little girl playing merrily on the deck as if nothing was happening. And the adults around her are worried and perhaps sick. And they come to her intrigued, and they ask her, why are you so happy? And she answers, because my father is at the helm. And Lord, we are that little girl. We are that child before you. And our father is always at the helm. We trust in you. And that gives us hope. That gives us joy. God is with us. And one day he will take us to heaven. We are encouraged too by reading the letters of St. Paul. And we open his letter to the Philippians to that familiar passage that we read on the fourth Sunday of Lent each year. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Rejoice. The Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. And Lord, you are the one that gives us that confidence, that trust, that hope, that joy. Rejoice in you. You are at hand. And St. Paul goes on, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Have no anxiety about anything. And Lord, when we look at our life, we probably see anxiety about this or that, about some of those aspects that we have prayed about earlier in this prayer. We are anxious. We don't know what is going to happen. But we put all of our trust in you. We follow St. Peter's words in one of his letters, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he is looking after you. Help us to do that. You are with us, to abandon all of these concerns in your almighty, merciful, and loving arms, and then we are secure, and we should not be anxious. We pray, let your requests be made known to God, and then we leave it up to you. And Lord, you are the Lord of history. Because we see so many disturbing aspects of life in our own country, in the world, and amongst them that growing concern with terrorist attacks. They disturb people's peace. But again, Lord, you are the Lord of history, and you have brought so many continuing problems to a happy end. When we all wondered in the 20th century how that evil system of communism in the Soviet Union and other countries could possibly end, because there were so many martyrs, so much injustice, and no freedom of religion or freedom of speech, freedom of the press, how that could end, you brought it to an end. Perhaps as a result, in part at least, of all those rosaries said in answer to Our Lady's request at Fatima for prayer through the rosary for the conversion of Russia. You are with us. And we go to St. Paul writing to the Romans in the 5th chapter. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. We have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, the grace that you have given us as a free gift, and we rejoice then in our hope of sharing in the glory of God, the glory of God here and hereafter. St. Paul goes on, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And what a beautiful way to look on suffering. We rejoice in our sufferings because suffering brings about endurance, and that brings character, and character brings hope, and hope does not disappoint us because your love has been poured into our hearts. You are with us. You give us your love. You allow us to share your cross, and that is a blessing. You said it, those I love, I chastise. And you said it to so many saints, including Saint Paul, that they would have much to suffer on your account. Those you love more, you give a greater share in your cross. And if we have the cross, it's a sign that you love us, that you are allowing us to share in that cross. And that cross purifies us of our sins, unites us with you, speeds up our entry into heaven. And we go to Pope Benedict's encyclical Spe Salvi, Saved by Hope. And in this encyclical, Pope Benedict distinguishes between what he calls the lesser hopes and the great hope. The lesser hopes are, among others, all those we have considered: the insecurity of our job, our health, relationships, children and others not practicing their faith or living an immoral lifestyle. We feel out of control, but God is in control. These, important as they are lesser hopes. And the great hope is union with God forever in heaven. All the rest are insignificant compared with this one. And Pope Benedict speaks of that great hope in Spe Salvi. He writes, "To come to know God, the true God, means to receive hope. Lord, our hope is in you. To know you, to love you, to be one with you, means to receive hope." And elsewhere the Pope writes, "Man needs God, otherwise he remains without hope." And Lord, we wonder at times how people who say they don't believe in you can get on with life. They don't have the hope of eternity. They don't believe in you. They don't believe generally in life after death. And to go through this life with no other purpose must leave them feeling discouraged so often. But we have you, and with you we have hope. Elsewhere, Pope Benedict writes, "Anyone who does not know God, even though he may entertain all kinds of hopes, is ultimately without hope, without the great hope that sustains the whole of life." And Lord, we have hope even in suffering, as we have said, because you are with us in that, and you suffered too, and you suffered more than we will, to show us that suffering too unites us with God. And again, Pope Benedict writes, "It becomes evident that man has need of a hope that goes further. It becomes clear that only something infinite will suffice for him, something that will always be more than he can ever attain." And Lord, it's true. We long for the infinite. You have given us an intellect and a free will which are spiritual, and they can't be satisfied by anything material or finite. And how many wealthy people, unhappy with their lot, in spite of being very wealthy, come up with schemes to make more money out of their greed. They're not happy. They're longing for something more, and they think that more money will give them more happiness, and it won't. And so often they end up in jail. But you are the infinite good that alone can satisfy us. St. Augustine said it, "Lord, you made us for you, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. And Lord, help us to put our heart in you, our hope in you. You are the answer to the great hope of something infinite. And Pope Benedict says, this great hope can only be God, who encompasses the whole of reality and who can bestow upon us what we ourselves cannot attain. The fact that it comes to us as a gift is actually part of hope. And it is true, hope is a gift. The three theological virtues, along with grace, are gifts from you. We receive them in baptism. We can lose them, but we can regain them through the sacrament of penance and our sincere contrition. And then, once again, you give us those gifts. And we know people who have lost faith. They had it, but now they say they no longer believe. They didn't keep those fires of faith burning through prayer and the sacraments. And we could lose hope, too. If we lose faith, we lose hope. And we can lose charity through any mortal sin. And Lord, help us to cling to you. To cling to you so that you give us this gift of hope, and with it, faith and love. Pope Benedict goes on in that passage, God is the foundation of hope, not any God, but the God who has a human face and who has loved us to the end, each one of us and humanity in its entirety. His kingdom is present wherever he is loved and wherever his love reaches us. And Lord, we pray in the Our Father, thy kingdom come. But your kingdom is already here. It is in this world. You said that. My kingdom is among you. But we can take that personally too. My kingdom is within you. Lord, you are in our soul. When we are in the state of grace, all three divine persons dwell within us. We are those living tabernacles, those temples of the Holy Spirit and of the Father and the Son together with the Holy Spirit. You are with us. Then we have hope. Then we have that love. You are the God with a human face who have loved us to the end. And finally, just to quote one more passage in which Pope Benedict speaks of this great hope, a world without God is a world without hope. And Lord, increase my hope. Help me to be closer to you, to anchor my life in you, as we read in the letter to the Hebrews in the 6th chapter. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner shrine behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. An anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner shrine behind the curtain, an allusion on the one hand to the curtain in the Temple of Jerusalem that closed off the Holy of Holies. And that curtain was torn from top to bottom when you, Lord, died on the cross, exposing the Holy of Holies. And it was symbolic of opening of heaven. The Holy of Holies is ultimately heaven. And there you went as a forerunner on our behalf. And therefore you are our hope. You are the anchor of our soul. St. John Chrysostom comments on that passage, for just as the anchor thrown overboard prevents the ship from moving, even if it is being battered by countless winds, but instead keeps it in one place, hope has the same effect. And Lord, we can be battered by the winds, but we have our anchor in you, and we are firmly in place. And St. Thomas Aquinas comments further, a man should be tied to hope in the same way as the anchor is tied to the ship. But there is a difference between the anchor and hope. The anchor reaches down to get its hold, whereas hope reaches upwards, laying hold of God. And we could say there's another difference too. If the winds are sufficiently strong, not even the anchor can hold the ship in place. But Lord, when we reach up to grasp your hand, we are firmly in place, and you will not let go of us. We could let go of you, but you will not let go of us. And you say that to us through the prophet Isaiah. I, the Lord, your God, I am holding you by the right hand. I tell you, do not be afraid. I will help you. Lord, increase our hope to trust in you, to take you by the hand and not to let you go. And Lord, we might ask, how can we grow in this virtue of hope? And the answer is, in the first place, prayer. More prayer, more trusting prayer, more real conversation with you, knowing you close, knowing you in our soul, knowing that you love us, that you have sent us out too, and you are with us until the end of the world. And Pope Benedict says that in Spe Salvi, a first essential setting for learning hope is prayer. When no one listens to me anymore, God still listens to me. When I can no longer talk to anyone or call upon anyone, I can always talk to God. When there is no longer anyone to help me deal with a need or expectation that goes beyond the human capacity for hope, He can help me. And Lord, how true that is. You are always with us. And maybe nobody else listens to us. We can't talk with anyone, but you are there. And we learn hope through that conversation with you, which is prayer. But we should also ask ourselves, how much do I pray? Do I have regular time set aside each day to talk with you? And not only those various vocal prayers, those prayers with a fixed formula, like the morning offering, the Angelus, the act of contrition, the Hail Holy Queen, but mental prayer too, meditation, what we are doing now. We're talking with you in our own words about this important virtue of hope. If we did this every day, if we set aside 15 minutes to talk with you, to bring you our problems, to ask you for advice, we would receive lights and with them hope to pray, and that most powerful of prayers, the Mass. Because, Lord, you are the protagonist. It is your action. It is your sacrifice on Calvary made present on the altar. And we can take all of our intentions, all of our needs, and put them there in the Mass, and you raise them to the Father. And He always hears you. And then the Rosary, that very powerful Marian and Christological prayer, where we meditate, Lord, on your life. The 20 mysteries are the mysteries of your life, as seen through the eyes of Mary. And we say 50 times the Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us, sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Prayer, the first setting for learning hope. And the sacraments too, especially communion. Because, Lord, when we receive you, as you said in the synagogue of Capernaum, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. We become one with you. It's an anticipation of heaven. It's the communion with you here on earth, which is an anticipation of the communion of life and love with the Blessed Trinity, as the Catechism describes heaven. To receive the sacraments, to receive communion often, then we are one with you, and of course our hope is increased. and the sacrament of penance because we sin. And people get discouraged when they fall again and again into sin. But every time we go back to confession to tell you our sins and you forgive us, we are buoyed up by hope once again. We start over. Lord, help us to go often to that great sacrament of mercy, the sacrament of joy, the sacrament of penance. And we go to Our Lady. And Mary, we call you our hope. And this for three reasons. First, because you brought us hope in the person of Jesus, in the person of God on earth, God with a human face. He is our hope, and you gave him to us, and therefore you are our hope. And secondly, you teach us hope by your example. Hoping that you, a virgin, could conceive as the angel had said, and you did conceive. Hoping when Joseph woke you in the middle of the night to tell you that you had to go to Egypt. Hoping that Herod would not catch up with his troops and kill the baby, and you made it safely. Hoping at Cana, that when you said to the stewards, do whatever he tells you, Jesus would somehow work his first miracle. And above all, hoping at Calvary, when Jesus died and everybody heartbroken, you had that firm hope that he would rise again as he did on the third day. And thirdly, Mary, you are our hope because you are interceding powerfully for us in heaven. Our prayers go through you to Jesus, to the Father. And as Jesus never said no to you on earth, he won't say no to you in heaven. Mary, you are our hope. Help us to hope as you did. Increase our hope. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.